The FlightBridge Ed Air and Surface Transport Symposium is back, May 18th through 20th of 2020. Join us in Murfreesboro, Tennessee for our third installment of one of the best EMS conferences in the nation. Guys, I gotta tell you, get to the FlightBridgeEd.com website, click on the Fast 20 button, check out all of the pre-conference offerings. We have more than ever this year. Our speaker lineup is going to be incredible. If you've been to Fast 18, to Fast 19, you do not want to miss Fast 20. Go to FlightBridgeEd.com, click on Fast 20, get your tickets now. We'll see you in Murfreesboro.
The content of this podcast is based on medical fact and evidence-based practice from credible authoritative sources, but is not a substitute for your institution's policies, procedures, common sense, or good judgment. The views and opinions are those of Eric Bauer and FlightBridge Ed in their entirety. This is the FlightBridge Ed Podcast, critical care and emergency medicine education for nurses and paramedics. Here's your host, Eric Bauer.
Hey everybody, Eric back with you. Today's podcast is going to be a three-part series on congenital defects. If you are currently studying for the CNPT, studying or have taken recently the FPC, the CCBSC, the CFRN or CTRN specifically, these exams are flooded with these types of questions. I think it's important to understand this. And obviously, if you work in the NICU environment, you see these cases every single week. So I just thought it would be good to highlight these different congenital heart defects. We're going to do two per podcast, and hopefully this will be a great overview of what we need to know. The first one we're going to talk about within this podcast is going to be coarctation of the aorta. And these patients essentially have one of two problems. Number one, they either have a narrowing of the aortic arch, and that typically is seen distal of the left subclavian bifurcation, or their aortic arch could be hypoplastic, so small or underdeveloped. These patients are seen in different types of presentations. There may be some of these babies that this was never identified in the ultrasound phase. Mom is coming in for routine checkups, and during that ultrasound, oftentimes they can identify a high aortic arch pressure, and that kind of leads them down the road. But oftentimes these babies are not diagnosed until after they're born. Some of these babies will even be sent home, and there's many, many cases where babies have been sent home. Mom and dad feel like these babies are completely healthy. And then once the patent ductus actually closes, decompensation happens very, very rapidly. Well, why? Because if we have a narrowed aortic arch, we also have a patent ductus. Remember that patent ductus arteriosus does not start closing until after the baby starts breathing oxygen, and usually doesn't close until 2 to 3 days after. It doesn't fully close for a couple weeks, but that main closure happens based on that stimulation from breathing oxygen. The thing that is buying this baby some time and why there's no symptoms is because you have a second outflow tract. That aorta is narrowed or hypoplastic. The outflow tract is small, it's limited, but because you have a PDA, it's not identified. So that's one type of patient. What are we going to see? Well, oftentimes what you're going to see is you're not going to have any pulses in the feet. You're going to have blood pressures as high as 15 millimeters of mercury or higher in the upper extremities over the lower. So the lower extremities are not getting the circulation. No pulses, very low pressures, high pressures in the other in the upper extremities. Those are two key assessment findings that you're going to see. If you give these patients oxygen or O2 challenges, they're not going to respond. And as I highlighted in the neonatal or that term nightmare series case where we talked about the home delivery, If babies are less than 35 weeks, those O2 challenges can be between 21 and 30%. And for the most part, what I have seen is usually that 30% is going to be that O2 challenge limit. But within, 5 minutes, if no response is seen by the baby, then that is usually an indication that there's some type of congenital heart defect. And these babies are classified as cyanotic lesion babies. And then that assessment is going to continue to confirm that. Once this is identified as coarctation, one of the first things that has to happen is there has to be prostaglandin therapy established. And that prostaglandin therapy is going to be established to prevent further closure of that ductus, because remember, oftentimes that's what leads to decompensation. That prostaglandin therapy is going to be the mainstay to maintain patency of that PDA. Most often, the starting dose is going to be 0.03 to 0.1 mics per kilo per minute. That's on the low end. Doses can definitely get up to 0.5 to 1 mic per kilo per minute in some cases, but the lower starting dose is going to be the most standard starting prostaglandin administration dose. A few of the things to highlight is that there is a small percentage, it's anywhere from 15 to 20, 25% of babies with coarctation that will have an associated ventral septal defect. You do see a higher incidence of coarctation babies based on a chromosomal abnormality, Turner syndrome, things like that. But it does not mean that all these babies have chromosomal problems. And the cases that I've actually seen or been told about have not been a chromosomal problem. If the baby does not have any VSD, the first treatment after prostaglandin therapy that is going to be established is they're going to do a surgical dilation. And they do this either at the bedside or they may take them into an interventional lab for this. Most often it is the bedside, and they'll do a femoral cannulation, and they'll basically place a stent in the foramen of ovale. And we know that foramen of ovale closes shortly after birth when the baby starts breathing oxygen. The right side becomes the low pressure side, the high pressure side becomes that left side, and that foramen of ovale closes. And what we need to do in these situations is the surgeon will go in and do a dilation of that foramen of ovale and allow for mixing between the right and left atrium. So we've done a couple things so far. They've established prostaglandin therapy to reopen that ductus. That's going to limit the problem with the left ventricle having to pump against that outflow obstruction, i.e. the narrowed aorta. And now we have dilated, done a surgical dilation. A stent is placed in that foramen of ovale to allow for mixing of blood between the two atria. At the point that they have the baby stable enough, prostaglandin therapy is initiated. They've identified this coarctation is actually the problem. They've performed the surgical dilation. Now let's move on to how they fix the problem. So there's a couple ways that they do this. The first way is they're going to take the narrowed area of the aorta. Again, remember that's usually distal to the left subclavian bifurcation. And they will cut out that narrowed area and bring the two ends together. In some cases, if that narrowing is not as small, they may be able to stent that area open. But those are the two main ways that they are going to fix that narrowed aorta. Once that area has been fixed, if there was a VSD, remember I said there's a larger percentage of patients that will actually have an associated VSD, they will close the VSD. They'll do a surgical patch. During the surgery, they'll also go in and they'll actually uncannulate the foramen of ovale, and then they will proceed to slowly titrating off the prostaglandin therapy and allow the PDA to close. In some cases, they may have to stimulate closure with a medication called indomethacin, But a lot of times just titrating the patient off of the prostaglandin administration will cause closure to happen naturally. Now that we've covered coarctation, now let's go to our second congenital defect. This is also considered a cyanotic lesion, and that's going to be transposition of the great vessels. So the big problem here is that you have the aorta and the pulmonary artery have grown in the wrong locations. They basically transposed, i.e. that's where transposition comes from. They've been transposed during heart growth. And you have a big problem here. Within that problem, you have a systemic side, right? The systemic side is to the body. You have a pulmonary side. That pulmonary side is the lungs. The circulations are actually running parallel instead of running in series. And what that means is when the blood moves down through the right atrium, through the tricuspid valve, down into the right ventricle, should move in through the pulmonic valve, but instead you have an aortic valve. So that blood is moving towards the lungs, but instead exits out the aorta into the body. On the other side, the pulmonary side, the blood that has actually been oxygenated is just continuously moving through the pulmonary artery back through the lungs and is going in circles. So these kids are going to be super, super hypoxic. Prostaglandin therapy is going to be initiated again at the dose of 0.03 to 0.1 mics per kilo per minute. And the key here is, again, cannulating that foramen oval valve. Remember, at the bedside, maybe in an interventional lab, they're going to open up that foramen oval valve because that is the only way possible to allow for mixing. As I said with the previous defect, the coarctation, a lot of these kids may also have an associated VSD. And if they do have a VSD, in this case, that is actually good. That is going to give them a higher ability to oxygenate. So the surgical intervention with these kids are going to be focusing on what's called the Jantine procedure. That's an atrial switch where they're going to flip these two arteries back to where they need to go. The most complex part of this surgery is actually them removing the coronary circulation and reconnecting that to the aorta. Because of the transposition of the pulmonary artery and aorta, the coronary circulation has also been transposed. With that being said, there's also problems a lot of times with other branches or incomplete coronary circulation. And so that is, again, the most complex part of the surgery. So I want you to kind of put these surgeries in perspective, that the average neonatal heart is the size of a walnut, and the coronary circulation is only 2 millimeters in diameter. So we're talking about small, small little things. These surgeons are truly amazing. Once the surgery is completed, once the Jantine procedure has been done, the coronary circulation has been rerouted and reconnected to the above that aortic valve. They will, within that surgery, if there's an associated VSD, do a patch. They will also uncannulate the foramen oval valve, and that will complete that surgery. As we said in the previous congenital defect, they will titrate off the prostaglandin therapy, and then if needed, they may give indomethacin to close the ductus later on. So this highlights two of the most common congenital defects. Number one, coarctation of the aorta. Number two, transposition of the great vessels. We're going to do four more of these, two more podcasts highlighting two each. Please join me for part two and part three. And until next time, I will talk to you soon.
This has been a production of the Flight Bridge Ed Podcast, leading the way in pre-hospital critical care and emergency medicine education.